Welcome back to America Weekend. Well, there's been a lot of discussion about how America has gotten off track, and different politicians have different ideas of how to fix this. But rather than thinking about policies, getting to the core of what makes any society run is really its people. I'm Valerie Smaldone, and on America Weekend today, maybe we all have to look deep inside ourselves. Dr. Brian Russell is a lawyer, a psychologist, and a television personality who, by the way, can be seen on Investigation Discovery's Fatal Vows. He's been a featured guest on multiple national TV networks, including the Fox News Channel, CNN, HLN, CBS, MSNBC, and much more. He's written a book that exposes the concept that people have stopped taking personal responsibility and accountability. The book has a great title. It's called Stop Moaning, Start Owning: How Entitlement is Ruining America and How Personal Responsibility Can Fix It. Welcome, Dr. Russell, to America Weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I love this concept of personal responsibility. Let's talk about where you see this applied in someone's life. Give me some examples that come across your scope or your radar every day.
Well, personal responsibility and its opposite, entitlement, affect us in all walks of our lives. They affect our relationships, our careers, the ways in which we raise children, our educations, our communities, the organizations that we're members of, and all the way up to and including in the nation. And so entitlement serves people worse, personal responsibility serves people better in all of those walks of life.
So now you have a robust practice. And at what point in your practice or even in your personal life did you start to see a pattern of people who do feel so entitled that they just don't take their own responsibility? When did this really start to get under your skin?
I think as a young person, still in adolescence, I remember talking with my parents about how irritated I would get when people seemed to feel like they were owed things, especially if they seemed to feel like they were owed things and didn't feel like they owed anything back. There wasn't any reciprocity. It was all about them and what they could get and very little about other people and what they could give. And so I think that was probably something that started in me at home. Just like, by the way, I think entitlement attitudes start at home usually. Mm-hmm. And it was something that then was sort of a foundational idea as I started to study psychology and as I started to study the law, and I would start to notice it as a root of all kinds of problems in human behavior and relationships, and also sort of the underlying problem that we were always trying to solve with the law.
Right. So you got it from both sides in a way, didn't you?
Yes.
You say we fail to differentiate between wants and needs. And how do you differentiate that?
Well, I think this is it's a great question because this is absolutely key. There are so many people in America today who seem to not make any distinction. And so to them, if they want it, they need it. Even if they can totally do without. So, you know, a want is something that you'd like to have, but you can totally do without it and you'll be just fine, function just fine, make it through life just fine. But there are many people who feel that, you know, there is no need for any distinction between those kinds of the kinds of things that they have to have, the food, clothing, and shelter, and the new outfit that they want, that's a luxury item. Or, you know, they feel that they should be able to have the kind of home that they want, whether they can afford the payments or not. And if and when the time rolls around that they can't make the payments anymore, then it's the lender's fault that they were predatorily lent money.
So it's never looking inside themselves, and it's the outside forces that are conspiring in a way against them.
Yeah, and I talk about that in the book, about one of the ways that you can when you look to see if somebody is having an entitled attitude, it's externalization. They like to externalize the causes of their problems. So, you know, I can't make my payments on my house. That's got to be the lender's fault or the president's fault, or you know, it's Congress's fault. It's my employer's fault for not paying me enough. They should have to pay me more. The Congress should pass a law and force them to pay me more money, because it can't be my fault that I borrowed too much money.
So how now, as a psychologist and with a legal background, of course, how do you shift that kind of thinking if somebody comes into your practice, for example, or if you're doing a radio show and somebody calls in with that moan? How do you shift that kind of thinking?
Well, it is very difficult to shift that kind of thinking in an adult. This is the kind of thing that establishes itself early in life and is highly resistant to change. So the best is for any parent who's listening, not to cultivate this in the first place. And the time to be thinking about that is in the 0 to 5 years, the early single digit years, because that's when it gets started. Now, if somebody is an adult and this is resonating with them in a negative way, that they may have some of these entitled attitudes, if somebody is interested enough, if somebody is sharp enough to notice that this is causing problems in their life, they can, but it takes a lot of work to shift from a place of entitlement to a place of personal responsibility. So it has to start with the recognition that this isn't working for me, and it's not working for me because even when things are externally caused in our lives, even when things go wrong and it's not entirely because of our choices and our behaviors, almost always we are able to change ourselves way more and way sooner than we're going to change the world or the president or our employer or any of those things.
It starts at home. It starts within our own selves. Absolutely. The book is Stop Moaning, Start Owning: How Entitlement is Ruining America and How Personal Responsibility Can Fix It. And in the book, Dr. Brian, you say by giving up personal responsibility, we have given up power over our lives. So it really is quite a negative. And that's an interesting concept, because we all want to feel empowered.
Well, that's right. Freedom and personal responsibility go hand in hand. If you abdicate personal responsibility, for example, let's look at a big issue right now, healthcare. Mm-hmm. If I say I don't want to be responsible for my healthcare, so I am going to have you be responsible for that, then of course I have to let you dictate to me, you can't eat certain foods then, because I have to take care of your health. And if you get sick, then it's costly to me. So you're not going to eat these fatty foods, and you're not going to smoke these cigarettes, and you're not going to drink this alcohol. If I want to have the freedom to live the lifestyle I want, then I have to take responsibility for the consequences of those choices.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting example that you just put there. And I would wonder what you would say to, with this political year that we've had and moving forward, what you would say to the new administration on how we can make America better, how we need to really look inside ourselves. And it's not about policies, as I said at the beginning of this segment.
Well, that's right. I think there's only so much a president, an administration can do to try to change attitudes across a nation. I think that what an administration can do is set a tone by recognizing that it's personal responsibility that actually built the country. It's people who were exercising a high degree of personal responsibility, people who recognized that personal responsibility and freedom went hand in hand, who made this country the greatest, freest, most prosperous nation in human history. And so getting back to those core values, getting back to those core principles, reinforcing those with public policy, talking about them all the time, talking about them especially to young people who are still developing their attitudes about the best way to go through life, I think are all things that an administration can do. But I definitely do not want Americans to think that this shift that I think we need to make as a nation away from entitlement and toward personal responsibility is going to emanate from Washington. Mm-hmm. It's going to emanate actually from our homes and then reverberate to Washington as opposed to the other way around.
How has this book been received, Brian?
Well, it seems like there are two camps. There's sort of the choir who loves the book because it validates what they have been seeing and thinking for years anyway. And then there are people who seem to be sort of put off by it because maybe they actually harbor some of those entitled attitudes. And, you know, nobody likes to be called to look in the mirror if what they're going to be shown there isn't what they want to see. So there's been a little bit of that. I would say the bigger group, though, is that group that I would call the choir, that, you know, even though they are not necessarily reading a lot in the book that is surprising or shocking to them, they feel a lot of good validation when they read it.
It's a great conversation starter. Dr. Brian Russell, the book is Stop Moaning, Start Owning, How Entitlement is Ruining America and How Personal Responsibility Can Fix It. Thank you, Doctor, for being on America Weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Valerie Smaldone on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So, are you stingy? Well, there's a lesson in human nature here, and whether you're stingy or generous, you need to know all about it. Here's the social science of it. When someone is kind to us, we tend to give it back in kind. You buy me lunch today, I'll probably treat you to lunch later on in the week.
Thanks for the freak fest last night.
But if a person is cheap in a situation where generosity is expected, it is payback time. If ever a stingy person stiffs us, we never forget, and we penalize them in all interactions.
You, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
What's the cheap psychological trick? If you've been stingy to a friend, you've put a downward spiral into play. To repair the damage, responding in kind will not work. To redeem yourself, you'll have to be repeatedly overgenerous to compensate for your tight-fistedness. Got a question or a comment? Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. A United States-born citizen can have their citizenship taken away by one of four possible ways. Here they are. First, if you're elected to office in any other country. Second, if you apply for and become a citizen of any other country. Third, if you renounce your citizenship to the United States of America and declare your loyalty to another country. And number four, well, what do you think the fourth situation is? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
So what's the fourth way you can lose your United States citizenship? By serving in the armed forces of any other country. And that's the final verdict.